Southern Baptist did a survey a few years ago, and they were just went out and surveyed people and asked them, what do you want out of life? And the survey said basically four things that people were looking for in life. People were looking for hope. People were looking for purpose. People were looking for peace. And people were looking for life. You know, and as I thought about that, these four things can be found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. And this morning we'll be looking at hope for the heart, because people are looking for hope. You know, and the word hope, when we look at it by definition here, it's not a verb here that we're talking about. It's a noun. Sometimes people say, well, I'm wishing for something, I'm hoping for something. That's a verb. Or I'm just believing in something or for something. But hope is something in the Bible is based on a rock-solid assurance of something to come. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When we don't have hope, Proverbs says that our heart becomes sick. We basically get discouraged, get disillusioned. So I want to ask you a question this morning, a couple of them really. Is your heart sick this morning? Are you looking for hope? We all need hope. I want to read this passage of Scripture. And I want us to look at it, and Roy Dale was kidding me a few minutes ago. I only have four slides up here this morning, and one of them is the title. I'm only giving you just the three main points. But I give you, through Regina's help, there's plenty of room on the bulletin to write whatever God impresses upon your heart about this. We normally look at this passage of Scripture as a Christmas story, but I think it's to be celebrated 365, amen? So if you found it in your Bible, would you turn with me and stand in honor of the reading of God's Word? Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. So now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said one to another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you this morning for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to look into this passage of Scripture, see its truth for our lives, for today, tomorrow, and for yesterday. Lord, we pray that you just help us to understand your great will for our lives. Lord, you don't want us to be discouraged. You don't want us to be hopeless, but you want us to have hope. That would be a hope based on you. Lord, help me proclaim your truth, the power of the unction, your Holy Spirit, for your glory and honor, in Christ's name that I pray. And amen. You may be seated. I want to start off first off and just say, you know, we need some good news. You stop and think about all the things that's going on in our world. We need some good news. And the shepherds here didn't have a lot to hope for. You know, we kind of skim over this thing, they're out in the fields, they're keeping watch over over the sheep out in the fields, but we stop and sometimes don't think about what that means. They're out there in the elements. They're out there in the cold, in the rain, winter, summer, whatever, they're out there always with the sheep. Do you know they were outcasts from the temple worship? Because they couldn't come into the temple. They couldn't come through to be cleansed and go through the spiritual cleansing to be entering the temple to worship. They always had to be out in the field with the sheep. And I'm sure they didn't get a whole lot of time to take a few showers. Amen? They probably stunk like the sheep. You know, even the Egyptians said shepherds are an abomination. Even the heathen called them an abomination. They were looked down on as scum. You know, they were nomadic. They had no place to live home. They moved the sheep around wherever they could find pasture. You know, I've been to Israel a couple of times, and both times I've been to Israel was about first part of February. That's in the rainy season. That's when things are most lush, most green. And I saw many places in Judea that there was basically no grass. And I saw one little bitty clump of green grass in one little area. And this shepherd had his sheep out there trying to get a meal for them. But you think about in the dry desert times, in the summertime, they were always trying to find a place to feed their sheep, wandering around from place to place, having no home. And they had no hope for anything changing. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you feel like what you're going through, that there's no hope for tomorrow, that there's no hope for change. You know, I have a lot of mixed emotions about the lottery. Obviously, I think it's totally wrong to do that, to play gamble and try to get. But I feel for a lot of the people today. So many people are playing the lottery thinking if their ship would just come in, if they win the lottery, all their problems are over. What is the problem with that? They don't have any hope. And they're looking for the lottery to give them hope. Maybe you think there's no hope for you. Maybe you think there's no hope for your children. Or maybe sometimes we think there's no hope for this country. Shepherds didn't have a lot to hope for either. And you notice, too, the nation of Israel didn't have a lot of hope. They had suffered for 600 years under the bondage of the Greeks and then the Romans. Taxes and tyrants and taxes over and over again, restricting their freedom, not giving them any hope. You know, from 400 B.C., the time of Malachi, to the birth of Jesus Christ, if you go back and read the history about Israel and what happened, all they was a continuing cycle of revolts and rebellions. From Judas Maccabees and to the others there, they would, the zealots they called them, they would rise up and try to overthrow Rome and be drastically put down. Many of them would lose their lives, and it was blood, blood, blood. And the slightest uprising would cause death to those around them. You know, it reminds me in 70 A.D. after the Lord rose from the grave and went back to heaven in 70 A.D., the Romans got so fed up with their Jews trying to rebel and revolt that they came in and basically leveled Jerusalem and killed millions. See, people were broken in that day without hope. No hope for change. The only hope they had was in a prophesied Messiah that would one day come and deliver them from the oppression. And when he came, they didn't understand. They thought he was going to overthrow the Romans, but no, he wasn't that kind of a savior. One day he will overthrow all principalities and powers, but not today. See, the nation of Israel didn't have a lot of hope. Do you have any hope this morning? Things going wrong, going bad, not going well, family, friends, work. You know, there's not going a lot going right in America today. So much bad news, so much hopelessness. You know, I don't really even turn on the news on TV much anymore because I don't want to be shovel-fed their propaganda. And I just realized this morning, looking through my notes again about this, I just realized why I love to get my news off the internet. You know why? Because I can listen to whatever I want to listen to. I can read what I want to listen to. I don't have to listen to what they tell me. I can glean from myself what's out there. And that's where I get my news from, because I don't want to listen to some propaganda or some liberal somebody or whatever. I'll go to Christian websites and things like that and see what's going on in our world. But, you know, there's not a lot of good news out there. You think about morally in our country today, all the sexual sin, the perversion, the homosexuality, premarital, extramarital sex, cohabitation among peoples, people living there. One thing that drives me crazy with that is so many people are living together and seem to have no conscience of that being right or wrong. The Bible clearly says it, flee fornication and sexual sin and adultery. And pornography is an epidemic in our country. You know, I forget the exact number, but there's billions of dollars spent on pornography in our country every year. And you know who the largest producer and user of pornography in the world is? The United States of America. And economically, from gasoline going up to insurance costs going up, things just going crazy, and your hours are cut, and they're always restructuring where you work. And spiritually, where are we at in our country today? Seems like the slippery slope that we have going away from God has turned into a free fall, trying to remove God from everything in our nation. You know, one of the things I hope you understand me, I love sports as much as anybody. But I've gotten to the point, I'm looking at people, sports have become their idol. And some, their favorite team loses and they go into absolute meltdowns, amen? Hello? I don't like it when Tennessee gets beat, but it's a ball game, amen? It's not life and death. And I see some kids sometimes, somebody put a video on Facebook or something like that. His team had lost, I don't remember what team it was. And this little kid, he was probably about 8 years old, was just having a total meltdown. I mean, he was in a hysteria because his team lost, just wheeling and wailing and gnashing his teeth. We got everything upside down. And there's a lot of trouble in our families from addictions and of all sorts, alcohol and drugs and pornography and on I could go. Our jobs, our careers, the stress, the finances, and all the things that we go through. And the health issues that we deal with. Let me ask you a question. When you're watching TV, and they come on with all these commercials for some new drug that you can't pronounce, hello? And then they tell you how wonderful it is, it'll take care of whatever problem you've got there. But then they start reading you off the laundry list of all the side effects. And, you could die, you could be blind, you could be paralyzed. They go through this laundry list, and I'm saying, man, I don't want that. And then the next commercial comes up with some law firm says, if you've taken this drug and you had some of these, you can sue them and maybe gain some money. Hello? I don't know about you, but that just kind of, I just say, well, what are we thinking? We take a drug to cure one thing and end up causing more problems than to start with. There's got to be a better way. Hello? And all the spiritual battles that's going on and our children's future at stake and the emptiness in people's eyes. When Whitney went to China in 2008 and she was over there in 2010, I remember going making a trip over there in late 2010. And she said something to me about when she came over there, one of the things that she noticed about the Chinese people, she said there's this emptiness. They just look but don't see. Like a blank stare on their face. And what was the reason? They were hopeless. They're living under a communist oppressive regime that wouldn't let them have any freedom. And you look at them, and then when I was over, I got to noticing it too. People just going about their business, just this blank look on their face. But you know the sad thing about it? I'm seeing that more and more in America today. You go to the grocery store, or you go somewhere, you go out in public and you see people that just going through the motions. No hope. Is it any wonder the survey listed people needing hope? Now, all that's kind of bad news, okay, because we do need hope, amen? But let me tell you, look at what verse 10 says here. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good tidings, great joy. There is hope. And they needed to hear it. And we need to hear it. And so many people are already talking about, Carolyn and I were out yesterday and seeing Christmas decorations for sale already. And I'm thinking, this is the 4th of November. Used to, you didn't see those things until about Thanksgiving, right? And everybody says, Christmas is coming. But let me tell you something. Christmas already has came. When Jesus Christ came into this world, born of a babe to die on the cross for our sins, hope came into this world. And that was the real Christmas, the greatest gift ever. Hello? You think about the woman caught in adultery. She found that hope in Jesus Christ. Caught in the very act, and Jesus forgave her. The woman at the well who'd been married 5 times, the one she's living with, not her husband, she knew rejection, but yet she drank of the living water when she met Jesus. The man with the legion full of demons and having no hope, cutting himself with stones and screaming and crying out in the caves at night, he was freed by hope because he met Jesus Christ. See, we've been given the good news. We've been forgiven through Jesus Christ. We can have a new life, a new hope. The shepherds' lives were changed forever here. Jesus brought hope into this world. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, I'm not going to sing this morning, Mark, so you'll be all right. But think of the words of this song. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives. I have hope, not a wish for, a hope for, or maybe so. I have a rock solid assurance. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And one day he's going to come back and he's going to bring justice and righteousness into this world. And everything is going to be all right. Amen? And maybe we get to go to heaven and get it a little earlier before he straightens it out down here. Amen? Either way, it's going to be good. All right? Point number two. We need a Savior. Look at verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You know, the implication is there, if God says there's a Savior born, we need a Savior. Which brings the question, well, saved from what? So many people in our world today, you need a Savior. They say, well, saved from what? Well, first off, we have the problem of sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us in our relationships with one another. Why do we fuss and fight with one another? Because of sin, because we have a selfish nature, we have the old nature, and we want to do right, but so many times we don't. Can I get a witness? We have a sinful nature. There's a curse upon this world. And what can and what will we do with this penchant to do wrong? Let you think about something. There was sin in Jesus' day. We read about it in the Bible. Amen. There was sin in our day. You know, one thing that's never changed is sin. You know, today our lifestyles have changed. Technology has changed. Knowledge has changed. Everything in the world has changed from the time of Jesus, except for one thing. Man is still the same. He's still a sinner. He's still in need of a Savior. We got the problem of sin. We got the problem of suffering. You stop and think about the physical suffering going on in our world from accidents and disease and age. So many people, as they get older and all of a sudden, just like your physical strength starts to wane, your physical body starts to wear out. Emotional suffering, pain and heartache, the heartbreak we feel in our families and our homes. And it's inflicted in so many ways. You know, I don't think about the deal of bullying a lot. You hear it a lot in the news today, because when I grew up, if somebody was a bully, somebody took care of the problem and then they stopped doing that. Hello? That's just the way it was. And you didn't get thrown out of school for swinging a punch at somebody. You might get in a little bit of trouble, but I ran into a board from the principal a few times for doing that. But you know, bullying is far more than children. There's bullies on the job. There's bullies in the community. There's bullies in the school, sure. But you know, there's bullies in churches. There's some people in churches. I ran into a few. They want to have their way, and if they don't, they'll just bully other people until they get their way. Try to intimidate them. It's sin nature. But there's a lot of emotional suffering from those things, no matter where you're at and what age of life you're at. And there's mental suffering. You know, mental illness touches so many. We don't really talk about it a whole lot in the church, but yeah, there's a lot of people suffering from mental conditions. Just a few are Alzheimer's. You know, just about every one of us either knows somebody personally that's affected by somebody in their family with Alzheimer's, or a family member. Dementia. Imbalances in their mental makeup. And even as we get older, we start to wonder about our mental capacity. You know, it's kind of funny when we start getting older, all of a sudden when we forget something, said, oh my goodness, am I getting Alzheimer's? Am I getting dementia? I didn't remember that. One thing that drives me crazy, and I try to alibi this way, I guess because of pastoring and been around congregations and learning the names of people, I'll see somebody out in the public and I know immediately their face, and then all of a sudden my wheels are turning to, what's their name? What's their name? And my little computer is going through the memory banks, Anthony, trying to pull out the file. And sometimes I can't remember it till maybe they went down the walkway or whatever it was, another 5 minutes, all of a sudden I remember who they are. Now I can say, well, you're losing it, Britt, Steve. But I think, well, I've just tried to remember so many names. I'll just leave it at that. Amen. Did you ever have that happen? And you wonder, am I going to have Alzheimer's? Am I going to have dementia? Will I be next? Will it be someone I love dearly? My wife, my husband, my friends, my brothers and sisters? And then there's so much spiritual suffering. We think we have the answers, but we don't even know the question for the most part. And there's religions of all kinds in the world that seem to claim to have answers, but they don't even know either. And one of the sad things today in America, we look for hope in our governments. But you know, government can never give hope. Israel was suffering under the hands of the Romans of government. Government usually brings more affliction than it does help. We've got a problem of suffering in our world. And we have a problem of death. Do you know death casts its dark shadow over all of our lives? It separates us from our loved ones. It separates from our family members and our friends. And no one escapes or is immune. Unless the Lord comes back, we're all going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to go walk through that door. But it's kind of like that shadowy image that follows us around wherever we go. But can I tell you the good news? Jesus Christ came to conquer death. Hello? And he did conquer death when he rose from the grave. And because he lives and has conquered death, we have hope. This life is not the end. I'm just passing through. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. Because I know Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, this is not the end. That death has made it get a hold of me, but it's not going to keep me because I'm going to rise with the Lord. Amen? We have a Savior who conquered death. You know, when you talk about we need a Savior because of our sin. We need a Savior to help us in our suffering. We need a Savior to help us through this problem of death. He's conquered it all. And you just stop and think about it. If Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, is anything too hard for the Lord? Hello? Anything he couldn't do? Let's give you the third thing this morning. We need not just a leader, but a Lord. You know, man always desires a leader. We desire a leader for our country. We desire a leader for the world. And really, God designed it that way. He's always given leaders. He gave Abraham to be the father of the nation of Israel. He gave them Moses to lead them out of Egypt and out of bondage there. He gave them King David to lead them over their enemies. But we're all like the children of Israel sometimes. We want us a king. Like when Samuel was leading them, he was their leader. And they said, no, we got to have a king like all the other nations do. And God gave them Saul. He was a disaster because he was all about himself. And we said, we want a king to lead us. And it's always and every time we have an election for a new president or new this or new that, everybody's wanting this new king to lead us, going to straighten us out. Donald Trump can't straighten out this country. Only God can straighten out this country. We need someone to show us the way because we get confused with life and our direction, what we need to go and what we need to do. And how many do you read about either killing somebody or taking their own lives? You think of, stop and think about it, the rich and famous that we read about in our nation today. You know, their lives are nothing but a mess. And then the poor and outcast, they're doing nothing right either. And then all those caught in the web of addiction. You know something, leaders are good, but they're human. Leaders are fallible. They make mistakes. And they're limited in their knowledge. They don't see the whole picture like God does. And they're limited in their wisdom. They don't know everything. They only know what they know and what they've learned maybe, but they don't have wisdom like God. But Jesus Christ is our leader. He is our Lord. And we need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who will never leave us nor forsake us and always be there with us. And we can trust what he says. Do you ever read something a politician says and wonder if they're going to really back it up? Hello? If it's true, if you can believe it or not. Whatever Jesus Christ has said, you can always believe it. Because his word is true and it's forever. See, we need a Lord. Jesus is about hope. Mankind is without hope, and we need someone greater than all this to lead us and guide us. And leaders come and go, good and bad, but Jesus Christ is Lord over creation. He's Lord over our world. He's Lord over our lives. And with Jesus, we have a future and forgiveness. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what you have in your past. There is hope because of Jesus Christ. What did I read a minute ago? Good news to all people? Hello? You're still living and breathing. There's hope for you. Now, not I'm looking for hope, because that's a verb. Not I'm hoping in something, but I have a hope in Christ. What is my hope? I have a rock solid assurance. The Word of God is true. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and he is my coming King. Do you have that hope? Let me tell you something. You're a child of God. You've been born again of his Spirit. You know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. There's no reason any of us should ever have a hangdog look. Amen? We need to have our head held high, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Amen? And when somebody says, what are you grinning about with all the trouble because they don't have their hope? You say, I know Jesus. He is my hope. Amen? Do you know him? Let's pray this morning. Lord, thank you. Lord, when we were without hope, you came to give us hope. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we're just seeing through a glass darkly right now, but one day face to face, we only see a glimmer of what this hope really looks like. One day, we'll gather around your throne and we'll see what hope really, really looks like. Lord, help us to rejoice every day in your salvation, your goodness, your mercy, your love for us. Lord, I just pray that you just well up in our hearts a deep-seated believing hope in you and a trust in you. God, speak to our hearts now in this invitation that we do what you need us to do. We do what you want us to do, Lord, that we might know you fully. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, I would be amiss if I didn't ask this question. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to the place in your life where you've surrendered your life to him, trusted in him as your Savior, saying, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know I need to be saved. I want to be saved. Lord, come into my heart and save me. Make me a new creature. Have you come to that point? If you haven't, you can this morning. God's speaking to your heart this morning that you need to be saved. Don't put him off. Don't push him away. He loves you. He wants to save you. If you're this morning and you're a child of God, but you've let the world kind of beat you down and steal your joy and your hope, get your eyes off the waves and the wind. Put your eyes on Jesus. He'll restore you joy. He'll restore your hope. And you can walk out of this place knowing that whatever this world throws at you, it's going to be okay because he is in control. Just a minute, we have our invitation. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know you need to this morning, come. If you know you've been saved, but maybe you've never been baptized, to show others that you've trusted Christ, you need to come. Or maybe you just want to come and say, Lord, I want to lay it at your feet. Lord, I've been letting these things beat me down. Lord, help me just place my hope and my faith in you. Just let God have his way this morning. Father, we thank you this morning. We pray during this invitation, Lord, you just speak to our hearts as only as you can. In whatever way, in whatever manner, for whatever reason you want to, help us to respond to you. We give you thanks in Christ's name.